In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, turn there for just a moment and I'll get into this. When Jesus talked about heaven, he said this, "Enter through the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there that find it." Now, I know heaven will be full of people, no doubt. But also hell will have a whole lot of people in it too. And picture the only one who can really give us a glimpse of how hard it is to make it was Jesus. He said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go. But narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leads to life, and few find it." When Jesus began to speak this, he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." How many knows there's no other way to heaven but through the Lord? How many know that's a narrow way? But there is a way. Some people say, well, there's many ways to God. Jesus never said that. He says he's the way. Now, I'm glad there's a way. Are you with me? If there's an exit and that's the way we need to go, I'm glad there's an exit. In this world, we try to rationalize. And Satan always tries to make, well, there are many ways to get to God. Well, the truth, Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life. And notice, out of his lips, few that find it. If you're saved, it's an unbelievable miracle. Of all the billions of people that have ever been on the planet, you got the gospel. How many of us, that's a privilege. When I look at my own life, how'd you ever reach me? I know you're God, but Lord, thank you for saving me. But notice that in the scripture, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many go thereat. Now, I know they figured out on how many people have passed away per minute down to a second. I don't know those figures. But if you look worldwide, there's somebody dying every moment. Would you agree? Just like there's people being born, there's people dying also. And at that moment, whenever I see that, it's like in my heart, I'm like, gosh, I hope they know they're saved. Sometimes when I'm watching the news or something and they list, hey, this person passed away, in my heart instantly, I'm like, God, I hope they know the Lord. Because all the accomplishments here now weren't going to matter there. Only what's done for Christ will continue. You can be the greatest at whatever, but now you've breathed your last. And I often wondered, I'm like, man, Lord, do they know you? To know that area. Salvation says this. Listen, Billy Graham said this. Salvation isn't ours until we reach out and accept it. How many of us, that's a true fact. Salvation isn't ours until we reach out. It's been offered, but we have to receive it. Now, the other day I was doing a devotion, and I read that one angel can slew 185,000 Philistines in a night. How many think that's pretty serious? Now, if I made the night 12 hours, and normally it's not, but if I made the night 12 hours, that would be over 15,000 an hour that were being slain. How many think that the angelic hosts are pretty mighty? If you could take on 185,000 people in a night, how many of us, we got some great power with us. Sometimes if we limit God, God says, listen to me, the angelic hosts surround the righteous. We have a whole lot of power. Amen? But when it comes to salvation, I want us all to know. I have 10 things this morning to deal with. Just to clarify, to reassure. How many want to be reassured? You know you're saved. But it's nice to have that assurance. Like today, I always chuckle that, you know, you can always buy extended warranties. Sometimes it pays off. Most of the time, it usually lasts up through the warranty. Are you with me? But I always like get upset when I take in my vehicle and it's covered under warranty and they tell me that's subject to interpretation. I get frustrated at that when I show them in the contract, no, I paid for it. It's right here, right here. And then the guy looks at me, stone face, says, well, that's subject to interpretation. And I go, why did I pay for an extended warranty and it's listed and you don't cover it? How many of that makes zero sense? How many of sometimes it kind of works on your salvation a little bit? Oh, you're all perfect in here. Amen? So I'm looking at, well, let me see your manager, because I paid for a warranty and now you won't cover it. And it was this big thing. My radio quit. And it said radio, CD player, da-da, all covered. I just want you to fix that. It wasn't like I was asking for a new transmission. So the manager gets involved, and they're talking together in a little side huddle there. He comes over and says, well, can I help you? I go, yes, I paid for an extended warranty. My radio doesn't work. It's covered right here. I paid for it. See, it's in print. Warranty covers this. The guy looks at me and goes, yeah, that's certain of those vehicles. And I said, well, how did I know that when I bought the warranty that it was certain vehicles? Did you specify that in the contract that I could look at my model and look at your warranty? No, we didn't. But I go, then we're at an impasse here. I paid for it and you won't fix it. He says, no, we're not going to cover it in warranty. How many think I was a little bit hot? How many ever put your emotions under check, but you're like, yes or no? I did that. I'm like, oh. I go, this isn't right. I don't know if I can go any higher than you, but I'm going to walk out of here not having a radio fixed, but that's on you. Amen? And I did. I got my vehicle. I started going out. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes out of the dealership. I didn't see this guy. He's like the VP over this area. And he comes out. He stands in front of my vehicle. Goes, wait a minute, let me talk to you. He was hearing this from them, but I didn't know he was hearing it. I rolled down my window. He goes, you have some problem here, don't you? I go, absolutely. I went through your management here. I go, but who are you? He goes, I help run this place. And there's some areas that we need to shore up. That people are more important than your problem. I want my radio fixed. Consider it done. Please pull your vehicle in now. We'll give you a loaner so you can drive home. And I'll make sure it's fixed. How many think everything is reversed now? Yeah. The first thing I thought of, I'm glad I didn't shoot my mouth off. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's the first thing I thought. Not the radio. I hope I didn't blow my witness testimony. Come on. Because somebody was looking out when I didn't know they were looking out. These two dudes weren't going to fix my car, but somebody was. How many of those many times we can get to that place and the enemy wants us to blow our testimony, but God wants to come through for us? Yes or no? When I look today, we need to realize that when we're saved, we have a different Lord. That if the world mistreats you, that doesn't mean God will. Hallelujah. Pull the vehicle back in, and now it's a little commotion in there because the bigwig is in the office. The bigwig is on the floor, and I can see all like worker ants. Everybody's at work. And the two come out, and he looks at them right in front of me. Make sure this gentleman gets his car fixed. It's covered in full. Give him a rental car and whatever he needs. Man, they snapped right to it. I was golden boy then. Are you hearing me? I walked around going good. And I thought to myself, you got lunch here too? I'll take that as well. Amen. But I got a little bit in the flesh there. All right? That's what I thought. I didn't say it, but I thought that. Might as well cook me lunch there. Do something. So I walked out of there with a different attitude. Amen. But when my needs was met, should I look at these two guys differently? Or should I hold the grudge because they didn't do what I needed them to do? How many know sometimes you got to forgive even everyone else? How can I hold on to that? They were holding to whatever they thought. Maybe their own little policy. But now something greater came in. Can I forgive them? Should I forgive them? Why do I have to hold on to anything? How many of us, when it comes to our Lord, hasn't He forgiven us of all our sins? Then if we hold it against somebody else, aren't you forgiven? Oh, say amen. When it comes to salvation, how do you know you're saved? Number one, if you're taking notes. A person who turns from his sins and trusts Jesus to be forgiven of them, he's saved. Many times I've seen so many people have so many things. Well, there's another way to God. There's another way here. Just because you come to the altar and you boo-hoo, are you turning from your sin? Are you trusting in the Lord alone? I like to look at it this way. There's conviction, there's confession, and there's repentance at the present moment. When it comes to Scripture in Acts 2, verse 37 through 41, even Peter said this. How do you be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remissions of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many knows repent? Receive the Lord, get water baptized, get filled with the Spirit is a pretty good indicator. I mean, as you follow those steps, you're starting to get in the right place. Too many people say this, well, I'm going to trust the big guy upstairs or that eternal spirit. I want you to know that he has a name. You ever notice that the name of Jesus is the only name they don't want you to pray to? You can make your prayers and put God on the end, but don't put his name on it. What's the only name the enemy blasphemes? Isn't it Jesus Christ? How many ever heard that in a swear word before? How many here have ever heard somebody curse, oh Buddha? Oh Buddha. Or how about this? Oh Muhammad. Oh Confucius. No, it's always Jesus Christ. Even the devil shows you God is real. You just got to go, hey, man, that's true. He's the only one that's ever blasphemed, is the Lord Jesus. In John 5, verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my words and believe on him that it sent me has everlasting life. And since this is the reality, he's come from condemnation because he's passed from death to life. I like that. I'm not condemned anymore. I'll get into that later. I mean, when you're forgiven, that's freedom. How are you saved? By what Jesus has done. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's the way, the truth, and the life? Is that deep within your spirit? Many times, I've learned this over the years, all of us have heard many sermons. Would you agree? And you've probably heard a lot of sermons on salvation. So we got that down. We've learned it. But we need to apply it and know all things work together for good for God who will what? Loved us and called us according to his purpose. Amen? Number two, how do you know you're saved? You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. John 3:3 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was telling Nicodemus, a religious leader, you got to be born again. And then he uses the flesh terms. Well, how can I be born again when I'm old? Can I enter the second time in my mother's womb? He says, no, you don't understand. And you're a leader. No, that which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. Notice when Jesus declared these words, he brought forth a new revelation of life to all those who would hear. You have to be born again. How are you going to get to heaven? God's spirit has to be in your life. No one will make it there without it. Each dispensation that has been upon us, God has worked in that. He worked in the animal sacrifices. He worked in a time of grace for Adam and Eve. But now he calls all men to repent because Christ has came. For the nation of Israel, God looked at that sacrifice. Once a year they brought it for the whole nation. God accepted that. There was individual sacrifices when people sinned. One day, bulls and goats will be done. Christ has came. That is now the standard. How do you know you're saved? The Holy Spirit's in there. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself is witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen? You have the Spirit. It bears witness. Now, how many here are parents or grandparents or great-grandparents? Let me see your hand. you kind of know who your mom and dad are, true? Maybe they weren't around, maybe they are, but somehow you got born on this planet, true? You know your name. You can look at something and say, you know what, I'm from this family. How many know that when you're a Christian, you can call God your father? Because now you have relation there. You're born by His Spirit. You have God-given rights since you are. I found out this, that my father is loaded. For the first time in my life, I'll have an inheritance. And you know what? No one's going to steal my inheritance. It's reserved for me in heaven. Isn't that cool? You have an inheritance in heaven that no one's going to mess with. Why? Because you're His kid. And ultimately this, here's how I look at heaven. Jesus is my reward, and the rest of the stuff comes with it. If I just had Jesus, it'd be enough. I got Him and all this stuff. Hear this. Everything the Lord has, He's going to share with you. Isn't that cool? If there's modern currency when we get there, no one will touch your stuff. There's no need to lock your doors at night. None of your stuff will ever be messed with. It'll never rust. It'll never decay. It'll never corrupt. All that's done away with. No wonder Jesus said, make sure you store up there where moth don't eat it. Rust doesn't canker it. There you'll have eternity. That's why when we partner together to see what God wants to do, there's eternal rewards with it. And I'll make this guarantee to you. You take care of God's house, He'll take care of your house. I've lived by that, and I found it to be true. Amen. Number three, we need to actively pursue obeying God's commands. It's one thing to say Jesus is Lord, Lord. Many will say that according to Matthew 7. Lord, didn't I hand out bulletins? Didn't I sing in the choir? Didn't I preach a message? But were you born again? Depart from me, I never knew you. You may have done some nice things, and that's what's scary. You can do nice things for the Lord and still not be right with Him. I mean, man, it needs to start from that. Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy? Hear this. Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we lay hands on the sick in your name? Notice the level. It's more than just a casual, I sat and came to church. No, you were active to some degree. You did some wonderful work. But Jesus said this, depart from me. I never knew you. My Spirit was never in your life. In essence, I was no different than a club or a moose lodge or you just happened to come to a church. Come on. Oh, that's serious preaching. Amen. You know my story about the usher. He was a friend of mine. He was older than me. I bet it was 10 years I knew him. He would usher every week faithful. Back then we had regular outfits. They had badges on, the different coats. You could tell who they were. Until one day he was at the altar and he was crying. By then I think he was in his early 70s. And I said, man, what's wrong with you? I came up to him. He goes, this whole time I thought I was saved. But I just asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And I did this. I went. And I was mesmerized. I'm like, what? He seemed like the most godliest person I knew. Faithful. Never had a coarse word towards anyone. Greeted people. I mean, that really shocked me. It really put me to the place that just because people are nice, in some degrees even loving, do they know Him as Savior? It changed my whole course. I never assume. I want to know. Amen? Are we pursuing God's commands? Jesus said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And I'll add a second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'll get into that in a little bit here. You enjoying this morning? Number four, how do you know you're saved? Knowing that you have faith in Jesus. How many is this one thing to speak His name? Even the demons believe and tremble. But in 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6, examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Prove yourself. Know. How many is that something that you start to do? How are you going to know that Christ is in you? Well, examine. How many knows that you go for, I hate examinations. I hate it when I go to the doctor and I examine. Amen? I don't like stripping down to nothing and all that good stuff that goes with it. But you got to do it. Amen? Sometimes good night. And I've had a mammogram too, ladies. Oh, bless your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Amen? I was the only dude in there getting a mammogram. And I could see him chuckling a little bit. They thought they saw something in my chest and they wanted to do an examination. The doctor writes up the script and they send me there. And it's a ladies' wing part of the hospital. And I'm sitting there and Lynn's with me. I'm like, maybe they think it's her. Tom, come down now. You're next. And every person that worked there was a lady. Everyone did this. And they all looked at me as they walked down the hall, and I'm like, every eye is upon me. Every eye. And I go, maybe there's a dude back there, all right? No. Take your shirt off, stand next to this machine. And then they break out the vice. And they start cranking down. I go, there's not a whole lot up there, lady, but that hurts. Sorry, you got to have a certain pressure, and there was a gauge right there. It's got to be a certain pressure. Amen? I walked out violated, bless the Lord. Lynn's chuckling, amen? Everything was good, but they wanted to do the test. So ladies, bless your heart. Be full, amen? But do we have faith in Jesus? Is there times in our life where we just trust in Him? Do we know, it says in Hebrews 7, verse 25, He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to Him, who live and make intercession for them. Do we know that? Is there an intimacy? Like, I know your name. There are times I get to spend time with you. I enjoy it. That's what I love about being a pastor, talking with you. How's things going? That thrills me. Well, you know what? I mean, that who you hang around, you become like. You can tell. When your faith is in Jesus, He starts coming out of your life. It isn't just the big guy in the sky. Or have this statement, well, they're in a much better place. How do you know? If they're with Christ, they do. Number five, you take notes. How do you know you're saved? Sanctification is occurring. What that means is that you're becoming holy. If you're becoming holy, it's a witness that Christ is in you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 verse 4, by one offering He has made perfect forever them that are sanctified. Even in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, it says, add to your faith virtue, temperance. And you know, besides all this, holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Are you starting to be more holy than you were before? Yes or no? Are you desiring those things? God, I want to be holy as you're holy. That proves salvation. The world doesn't have that. You just can't come to the altar, boo-hoo, and live an ungodly life. That doesn't show Christ at all. Kind of quiet. Number six, how you know you're saved? You're starting to love people now. Come on. How many of us, this is difficult sometimes when them ones that kind of get on you. But Jesus said this in Matthew 22, verse 38. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The first commandment is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22, 37. How many knows that you want to love God with all that you got within you? Heart, soul, strength, and mind. Sounds all encompassing. And then Jesus said this, and love your neighbor as yourself. How many knows that takes it to another level? Now, we got to mature in this. At first in the dealership, I was not very loving. At least not inside. Amen? How many here have ever been cut off driving your car? That happens almost every single day for me. Almost every single day. I pointed out to my wife, I said, listen to me, I'm going to be cut off. She goes, nah. Three times that day I was cut off. And it isn't like they don't see me. They do it when I'm like two car lengths coming to them. Like, you had a mile before I showed up, and 8 miles behind me because there's no one behind me. And there's sometimes I'm like, Lord, are you teaching me something here? Or should I pray, Lord, that people pay more attention? I don't know. But have you ever been so upset it kind of ruined your day? Let me see your hand. Was it over a big thing or over a little thing that became a big thing? Or was it a series of stuff that you don't get just one problem, like when Dee and I talk? If I had one problem, I could enjoy that. It's usually five in a row. You got to deal with five in a row. But is there some point where it's like people become abrasive to you? Or you got to hold your tongue? Or if you're starting to change that process, I'm guaranteeing that maybe Christ is in you. Because the world could care less. And the world's going to do whatever it wants to do, share whatever it wants to share. If you're starting to bridle your tongue, you're starting to get where you need to be. Somebody say amen. Jesus said this in John, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And no murderer has eternal life in them. That means you've judged your brother guilty unto death. I mean, those even your worst enemies you want still in heaven. Because they won't be your worst enemy when you get there. Think about it. You'll have so much joy. How can you hold anything against anyone? I also believe this with all my heart, that heaven's going to surprise us on who is there and who isn't there. I really do. For my own personal family, I want to be surprised. I really do. Some of my relatives I was too young to meet. They passed on early, and I tried to get some history on them, and some of it's a little sketchy. But I wasn't there at the end of their life. Amen? I kind of want to have this thing where somebody comes up to me and I didn't know they were my relative. Can God still do it? You want to know why God can do it? Because look what He did for you. That you were an impossibility, yet you got your life right. I got three more. Can you handle three more? Number seven, how do you know you're saved? Peace. Somebody say peace. Your work is done, you trust in Him. Peace is a part of being saved. In Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, He who's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What God has started, He's going to finish. Now, I like peace. How many like peace? You come over to my house, everyone's welcome, but you're going to bring some peace with you. If the turmoil comes, I'll deal with your turmoil, but guess what's going to go with it? You. Oh, that seems a little harsh, but that's reality. Amen? My home is a sanctum, bless God. There's peace in the home. We're going to find some peace. Without peace, there's turmoil. Somebody say amen. And if I boil mankind's problems down, you just need the Lord. Come on. That means I can have peace in the midst of storms. Jude 1 verse 24 and 25 says this, He is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His presence with glory and honor and joy. Now, how many here have ever tripped over something? How many ever tripped and you couldn't put your hands down and it was a real good tumble? Falling sometimes is the worst part because the damage is severe. Especially if you've ever fell down steps before because you keep going. But God said this, I'm able to keep you from falling. The stumbling blocks can be removed. And I can present you faultless before the Father with exceeding great joy. I mean, that's pretty awesome. This is part of that. When I realize that the Lord's not going to put a stumbling block in my path, that's what Satan does, or this. That's what we do. We trip over our own stupid stuff. But He's able to keep me from falling and present me faultless. Man, I sure have a whole lot of faults. But one by one, He's dealing with them. With that, I have peace. I know that I know. Amen? To me, I look at death this way. I shared it with the first service. Death to me in a year will be, that's a graduating class. You are graduated the year of this year. That's how I look at death. It's not a done, you're over. No, You were graduating class, and I'm going to make this past. You were graduating class of 2000. They went on to be with glory. Amen? Each one of us will follow one day in that graduating class. I want to be like you, live a long time. And bless God, it's good to see Bernice back here. I mean that. Hallelujah. Now, the truth is, I want to walk in that. But peace. Jesus said, peace I leave you. Not as the world gives, but as I give you. Having that witness within you is powerful. I said it's powerful. Each one of us knows that Christ is able. In Colossians 1, verse 21 through 23, Paul talked about it. That he'll deliver from this present body, this present death, as it were. Holy, unblameable, unmovable in his sight. Rooted and grounded. Paul said, in this I became a minister. Number 8, if you take notes. How do you know you're saved? God's word confirms it. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things I've written unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you believe on the name of him. Hallelujah. His word confirms what you did. Hallelujah. My warranty should have been taken at face value. All the problems would have been taken care of. Would you agree? Paid for it. It's written. It's covered. How many knows Jesus won't renege on what he's paid for? He's covered. He will pay it in full. That's powerful for all of us. We can walk in that area. I got to hurry here. Number 9. How do you know you're saved? There's freedom. Jesus is your master. Sin does not have to dominate anymore. In Romans 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. The Old Testament was broken down like this. The Ten Commandments were given. It says this, when the law was given, sin was exposed, and we all died. When God said, thou shalt not, we did. Sin was exposed, and we all died. Jesus came in likeness of flesh. Every command he fulfilled. So now the law was going to be transferred into grace. Jesus fulfilled the whole law, every bit. Jesus said this, if you miss one point, you're guilty of all of it. He fulfilled the law. He's the only one who kept the Ten Commands. We broke them. Hope we didn't broke them all, but we broke them. We've lied. We've cheated. True. We've coveted. He fulfilled it. So now he became the sacrifice for all that. No longer bloods of bulls and goats to push it back a year, to cover people's sins. He gave once and for all. Now we have freedom because of that work. Hallelujah. That's how you know you're saved. You're free. Sin doesn't have to have mastery over you. That's good news. That's one of the greatest feelings ever, to be free in Christ. He who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Free indeed. We need to speak that. I'm free. I'm no longer entangled. And last here this morning, how do you know you're saved? You're passionate about sharing the gospel with others. Come on. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore into how many nations? All nations. Teach them. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, sometimes we cut it off there. Teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. He puts his own amen in there. Come on, do this. Having a desire to want to share your faith shows another indicator that you're saved. Two things the devil does not prompt me to do. One is give, and the other is witness. When I know the Lord's laying that on my heart, I know it's not Satan. I don't know how many times I've been at the gas station. I got a gas station anointing. I do. I'm pumping gas in the car, and I'm like, I need you to share with that attendant. Lord, I've already paid. The timing seems a little off. No, the truth is that my hearing was off. So I'm standing there, Lord, I got to go back up to that glass. I want to go. And now I'm filling up the tank. And you all know what you're spending now. And I remember so many times, now there's three or four people in front of me. I finally get back up there, and like, did you overpay? Or, you know, no, I need to share something with you. The Lord is prompting me to tell you about Jesus. I've had some people just blow up, get mad. And I've had people, like, remember, like, some of the party stores have that glass thing there? It's like gas station party store. I've had one guy actually slide that inch and a quarter glass over and go, what'd you say? I said, the Lord Jesus want me to share with you. And have this guy do this. You're the third person today who's told me about this Jesus. How many of God's getting somebody's attention? And sometimes I walk out like, Lord, forgive me for not being immediate obedient. That wasn't the devil prompting me to share. Are you with me? And I have to go back to my car and say, Lord, forgive me for that. Amen? Let me be more quicker to respond yes. Because if you're prompting, you already went before me. It doesn't matter their response back to me. It's you're getting the word to them. Sometimes we want to immediately. He didn't pray with me to get saved, but you know what? God's working on his heart. Hallelujah. The Lord will place you in situations like such. You want to have more prayers answered? Pray to witness. He'll open the door. Then be obedient to do it. Does an answered prayer bring joy? You can have a whole lot more prayers answered. Somebody say amen. Lord, let me be that witness and example. It could be your family. It could be. Who knows? But you have that passion. I don't want to see anyone go to hell. Not one person. Even if they don't like me, I still don't want them to go there. Because I know one day they will like me. They will like you. When the joy of the Lord is your strength, how can you hold anything against anyone? Amen. Do you enjoy this morning? How many want to see you starting to bear witness there? That you are a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That's good news. Amen. I want to give you a little head here. These next couple weeks, I'm going to be preaching on kings and priests unto God. I'm going to break that down on who we are in Christ. So next week, we'll be preaching on who you are. You're king and a priest unto God. I'll be covering that area. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to be saved, to know you, Lord God. That, Lord, we have the peace. Lord, we have the witness. Lord, we're keeping your commands. God, all these things are activated because Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. Lord, I'm not ashamed to call you Lord. And Father, help us to be passionate for those that are lost. I never want to take it for granted here. I know many of you, but I want to pray this today. If you need just to reaffirm Jesus as Lord, open that door. He stands at the door and knock. If any man opens, he'll come in. But I want to lead you in a simple prayer, and I want everyone to pray this. I want to reaffirm your salvation. Will you pray with me? Pray this with me, Lord Jesus. Everyone here, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins. I know you paid the price on that cross. And I accept what you've done there. I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that he arose from the dead. So now, Father, by your Holy Spirit, come live in me and change me. I boldly confess that right now that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Father, I thank you for sending your Son to die for me, to take my place, and now I receive your righteousness, your holiness in my life. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says you believe and you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord.